Hello, everybody. Well, as our regular listeners will know, myself and Laura are really forgetful and really unorganised. And we actually forgot that today is the podcast's 2 year anniversary. So happy birthday, Crime Divers. So obviously, as we forgot about it, we haven't organised anything. We didn't record a special episode. So we decided just to release one of our Patreon-only episodes. So this one was recorded last year, so it was 2021 sometime. And before the episode starts, I would just like to say I'm sorry to people from Michigan. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Laura.
And I'm Jill.
And this is Crime Divers.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Yeah, what's it called today then?
It's called Lethal Lovers. No, it's not called that. It's called Lethal Lovers.
I can't say that. Lethal Lovers. Jesus. Right, okay. I'm not saying that again. So where in the world is it?
The USA.
Okay.
What? I
was like, well, you try to change that up, because normally you go to America and it's like,
well,
USA.
No, it's just because I've just written here, because I just saw USA staring out at me, because that's what I've written, so.
Fair
it's
enough.
The US of A.
The US of A.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready to dive in?
Let's dive in.
Let's go.
So Kathy Wood, that's her married name, don't know what her maiden name was, I didn't find any record of it, so.
Oh, okay.
Kathy Wood was born on, so we'll just say Kathy. Kathy was born on 7th of March 1962, and she met Ken Wood.
Ken Wood?
Who was 20 at the time when she was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So they lived in Michigan, USA. She soon became pregnant.
What'd you call it?
Michigan.
Michigan?
Yeah.
So not Michigan?
Michigan. Michigan. How do you pronounce it?
Michigan.
Michigan?
Michigan.
Well, I call it Michigan.
I'm pretty sure it's Michigan.
Well.
Anyway.
We're in America.
Yeah.
Oh no, I think I'm going to have to say that a few times now. Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan.
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 Michigan. Okay. It just sounds weird both ways now that we keep saying it. You know, when you have a word and you keep saying it over and over and it just starts to sound really weird.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
So she soon became pregnant and they got married quickly after. So Kathy gave birth to a daughter in February 1980, but she just couldn't seem to bond with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
It said that she got easily irritated with her daughter and she wouldn't spend any time with her. Kathy withdrew and she refused to do anything around the house and just seemed really miserable all the time.
Right. I wonder if that was a bit of postnatal depression, but maybe they didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, it's not been reported that, but it could have well been. She got a new job at a nursing home. And it was called the Alpine Manor Nursing Home, and her husband, Ken, he hoped it would be a positive experience, like for Kathy, she would get back to her old self, you know, getting out the house.
Yeah, but independence and stuff,
Kathy was a nurse's aide, and all the other nurse's aides, they all got along really well and socialised outside of work. A few of them were gay, and they spent quite a lot of time at gay bars.
Mm-hmm.
And straight away, Kathy fit in really well with the other women and started socialising with them as well. She was having fun. Just going to parties and gay bars with her colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long before she had an affair with one of her co-workers. She found being in a lesbian relationship much easier,
mm-hmm.
as she felt that she was sort of on par with her partner. She felt it was more equal.
Right, okay.
I don't know if that was to do with her husband or just in general that maybe with men she didn't feel as...
Right, okay.
As on par as I don't know. But she said it was much more rewarding than being in a heterosexual relationship. So, Ken noticed a change in Kathy, and it seemed like she kind of developed a dark side. He noticed that she would play mind games with him. Like, for example, she would get girls, like, from work to call their house pretending to be, like, old girlfriends of Ken's, and, like, she'd be listening in on the other line and... Like, would confront him about it, and she wanted to see how he would react to
but
speaking to ex-girlfriends.
Did they not realise that didn't sound like an ex-girlfriend?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I would remember how any of my ex-boyfriends sounded. I don't know if I would or not.
I was going to say, I can't say either because I don't speak to any, so...
Well, exactly, so I don't know if one of them phoned me, would I recognise their voice? I don't know.
God knows. Maybe not.
So that was the kind of mind games that Kathy would play with everyone she had contact with. Like, basically, she liked to create chaos around people.
Right.
So, like, basically, so she'd be kind of in the middle, like, of all the drama. Like, she liked seeing everybody kind of...
She liked stirring the pot.
Yeah. I like how you made the hand action.
Like stirring the pot.
Well, yeah, I do it as well. You notice that when I'm doing the podcast, although nobody apart from you can see me, but I'll be, like, pointing my finger and doing all the hand movements.
It's all right. It's for my benefit.
Yeah, it's for everybody. Well, the hand movements are for your benefit.
Yes. As you're pointing to me, telling me that.
The podcast isn't. The podcast is for our listeners' benefit.
Yes.
So in August 1986, after 7 years of marriage, Kathy asked Ken for a divorce. He moved out and took their daughter with him. And Kathy was fine with that. It didn't seem to bother her at all that she wouldn't have her daughter living with her. She's obviously just never bonded with her at all. She just really didn't want to be a mum. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be the centre of attention, and obviously, if you've got a child, it's a bit hard to be the centre of attention, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yes. Definitely. So it's all about them.
Yeah, like your daughter is definitely the centre of attention. Oh, yeah. Even my dog gets annoyed when she's here.
She's like, no, her again.
When she was here, your daughter, because when I was looking after your daughter the other day, well, I wasn't looking after her, was I? She was just came.
For a visit?
Yeah, she just came to hang out. And the dog just whined, just lay on the floor over there and just whined because she wasn't getting attention and your daughter was. So, yeah, the kids get all the attention, don't they? So,
they do.
Yeah, the mother can't be the centre of attention.
No.
So, Kathy was quite happy with the way that it worked out that he took their daughter with him. So, a month later, Kathy met a woman called Gwen Graham. Well, Gwendolyn her name was, but...
We'll call her Gwen.
Yeah, she was called Gwen. So she was also a nurse's aide. Gwen was born on the 6th of August 1963, so she was a year younger than Kathy. She had grown up in a place called Tyler in Texas. Did I say that right?
Texas. Well, I mean, I don't know how you could get that wrong.
Well, I didn't know that I could get Michigan wrong.
It's Michigan.
Sorry to anybody who lives in Michigan. Michigan. I can't even say it.
No, you can't.
So yeah, she'd grown up in Texas, and her teachers always said that she was quiet and respectful, but always had a sad look on her face. She had spent most of her youth on a farm. Her dad thought it was good for a child to see life and death, to see where food came from, like how animals were turned into food.
Oh.
I don't think there's a need for that.
Not really.
No, so Gwen often had to witness the slaughter of pigs and beheading of chickens.
Oh.
I don't think there's a need for children to see where it came from. Like,
no.
It's all very well known. We know where it comes from.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need to see it.
No, I don't need to see it.
And when she was little, her father had ordered her brother to kill Gwen's little dog, Misty. Because he had barked at a horse, which resulted in the person who was riding the horse got thrown off the horse.
Yeah.
So, because of that, the dog had barked at the horse, so he ordered... Gwen's brother, his son, to kill the dog.
That's awful. That is really bad.
Yeah. After Misty had been buried, Gwen went out and dug up the dog, and she saved its teeth and its skull in a box shaped like a heart, and she carried that about with her. Mm. So, Gwen's mum, she didn't show her much affection at all. Gwen's dad had the idea that if a baby or a child was held by its mother, it would become weak.
Okay.
Like, what? Children are allowed to have cuddles.
Well, yeah, they need their mum.
Of course they do. They need comfort, especially when they're babies.
Of course.
And, you know, as they're growing up.
Like, what, do you just leave the baby crying and not...
Well, I'm assuming that she would pick the baby up to feed her, but, like, just not, you know, just holding her for comfort or just...
Oh, no.
And a child, come on, like, what happens when your child's fell down and hurt themselves? Well, what, you're not going to pick them up and give them a cuddle?
Well, I'd probably say that they're weak and they need to toughen up or something.
Yeah. And, well, you shouldn't have to have a reason anyway cuddling your child. Your child just...
Yeah. It's just...
There's nothing wrong with cuddling your child.
It's a natural It's a human thing to do, isn't it?
And does it mean to say you're going to grow up weak just because you've been cuddled by your parents?
Exactly.
So when she was older, she claimed that this... Remember, our teacher said that she always had a sad look on her face.
Uh-huh.
She said that the sadness was caused by her father, who was a substance abuser and was sexually abusing her. But that charge, he denied it and it was never proved in court. So that's just her saying that. So we don't know if that's actually true.
Yeah.
But without that, the sexual abuse, I mean, it just... You know, getting the dog killed and, you know, telling the mother that she's not allowed to hold the baby and stuff like that. It doesn't sound like a very nice person to grow up with.
It definitely does not.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to say this word again. So Gwen had just moved to Michigan from Texas. And at first, Kathy didn't pay too much attention to Gwen. But one day, Kathy was sitting in the break room at work, and Gwen walked in, and Kathy noticed that she had scars on her arms. She was intrigued by these, and they started to get to know each other, and they started a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
These scars were caused by Gwen burning and cutting herself. She had 31 different scars on both of her arms from putting out cigarettes on them, as well as a lot of small cuts. She did this when she was 16 because she was angry and she wanted to make herself ugly so that her dad would leave her alone. That was her words.
Oh, okay.
So the relationship between Gwen and Kathy lasted for 9 months before Gwen abruptly moved back to her hometown of Tyler in Texas. And that's when Kathy told her ex-husband Ken that while her and Gwen were in a relationship, they murdered 5 patients at the nursing home.
Oh, okay. Why would you just openly tell them that?
Well, it's all part of the story.
Okay.
So on the 6th of October 1988, Ken went to the police station and told them that Kathy had confessed to him that she helped to murder 5 patients.
Oh, at least he did the right thing.
With Gwen. Well, when you knew somebody conceded or murdered 5 people, I'd be like straight down that police station.
I don't know, but then it's like, were you really being serious?
Well, he thought she was, but the detectives weren't so sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Kathy... you knocked me off. Ken went to the police station and told them that Kathy had confessed to him that she had helped to murder 5 patients with Gwen during the winter of 1987.
Okay.
So at first the detectives didn't know what to think. They actually wondered if Ken was seeking revenge, like over his failed marriage.
Possibility, I suppose.
So the next morning, the police ran a background check on both Ken and Kathy. Neither of them had a criminal record. They contacted the police in Tyler, in Texas, where Gwen was from, obviously, and had moved back to. And they discovered that she had an outstanding misdemeanor warrant for her arrest for writing bad checks 3 years earlier.
Right.
So, you know, none of them really had a...
Aye, nothing major.
No. So, obviously, police had to look into Ken's allegations.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a search warrant for the nursing home.
Right.
So they examined employee and patient records. Ken had given a couple of victims' names to sort of get them started.
Mm-hmm.
So the police looked for their records to start off with. So the first one was Marguerite Chambers. On the 18th of January 1987, she had died after living at the nursing home for 5 years, and she was 60. The cause of death had been listed as natural.
Mm-hmm.
A month later, 95-year-old Myrtle Luce was found dead of an apparent heart attack. Less than a week later, there was another death. On the 16th of February, 79-year-old Mae Mason was found dead. The cause of death was listed as a cardiac arrest, and she had also been suffering from Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And over the next 2 weeks, there were another 2 deaths. 74-year-old Belle Burkhard and 89-year-old Edith Cook. So they were quite close together.
Mm-hmm.
None of these deaths had been investigated at the time, because it was a nursing home, it was normal for people to die there.
Mm-hmm.
And while Kathy and Gwen worked there, there were no rises in death than normal. So
yeah, there
was nothing suspicious about it.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
So, and it's also not normal to do autopsies unless something seems unusual.
Yeah.
So there was no evidence to suggest that these deaths were anything other than natural.
Mm-hmm.
According to Kathy, Gwen would kill the patients by smothering them with a washcloth. So she would just cover their, you know, their mouth and nose, and that's
it.
Yeah. So because obviously they would have other health problems, and That we're all blissed as natural.
Kathy hadn't told her ex-husband.
Nobody would have known.
None the wiser.
No.
So why the hell does she tell him then?
Well, as I said, we don't know yet. We'll see. So there was one incident that sparked the investigators' interest. One patient said he had been attacked, but no one took him seriously because, according to a member of staff in the nursing home, there were people with like dementia, people with like hallucinations, and you know, that was actually quite often for patients just to be saying like somebody was after them or somebody was trying to kill them and things like that. So, the patient that said he had been attacked, it didn't seem out of the ordinary to normal. So detectives compared the dates of the deaths to Kathy and Gwen's work schedules, and they did find that the deaths were all on days that both Kathy and Gwen were working. So investigators interviewed their co-workers to see if they ever witnessed anything suspicious. Their colleagues said that they were okay at first, but as Kathy and Gwen got closer, the other staff became a bit wary of them. They seemed to play a lot of games. Like, the nursing home, it was described as, like, being their playground.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do things, just stupid things, like, they would switch patients from room to room.
Right.
To, like, confuse other staff members, but I'm pretty sure it would have confused the actual patients as well. Like,
well, yeah,
put them into different rooms.
Why would they do that? Like, why would they be allowed to do that anyway? Because surely, like, if...
Well, they wouldn't be allowed to do it. They were just doing it to play games.
Right.
Because they obviously thought they were funny. They were being funny by doing it, you know. Just...
Right, yeah. That's not funny.
Because Kathy seemed to get a thrill out of stirring up trouble. We've already kind of established that.
I was going to say, we already know that.
And, like, she would call up... Like, she would phone her co-workers' husbands and say things like, do you have any idea what your wife's doing? And then she would, like, talk to the wife and she would say, have you got any idea what your husband's doing? That's the kind of person she was. She was always, as I said before, she liked to be in the middle of things. She liked to start, as you said, stirring the pot. So as you can imagine, that whole workplace must have just been full of drama, like, all the time.
But they didn't wise up to them doing it after the first little while. And
they probably did. They probably were just like, oh, here we go again kind of thing. But, you know, I mean, if you remember, that their relationship was only for 9 months, so that's not really a lot of time. So when the other nurses' aides were asked if they thought that Kathy and Gwen had killed five patients, they were divided. Some of them just didn't think they were capable of doing anything like something like that. But some did think, actually, maybe they did.
Mm.
So Kathy was working that day that the police were in. So the police took her to the police station to question her. She said it was just a joke that she had made up the story that she had told Ken.
Right.
But after about 40 minutes of questions, she said, okay, I didn't make it up. But I wasn't involved. It was Gwen who murdered the patients.
Right.
And she took her polygraph test and failed it. So, according to Kathy, Gwen killed patients to relieve her tension. She would become very tense, but then she would kill someone and feel so much better afterwards.
Right, okay. Can you not just, like, go for a walk or something? Or go to the gym, or... I don't know.
Like, CBD oil or something.
Right, go to...
Or have some weed. I don't know. Go to the doctor and get some diazepam.
Oh, I mean, seriously, like, killing somebody, how does that... relieve your tension?
No, I know. Dr. Michael Abramsky, who is a forensic psychologist, says that these are thrill killings. It was just for excitement.
Mm.
He said that Gwen suffers from two coexisting personality disorders. She suffers from borderline personality disorder, and she has a great many psychopathic features. And what that means is she's chronically unstable in terms of her moods and her personal relationships. She goes without reason from good to bad, from love to hate, from happy to sad, and she will commit aggressive antisocial acts against people. So I kind of find out a little bit about Kathy. So Kathy was born near an Air Force base in Washington State. Her dad served in Vietnam. She says she was unloved and her mum was harsh on her. She said her dad was physically abusive and she didn't have many friends. She fell in love with a boy when she had her first sexual experience. No, sorry. She fell in love with a boy, but when she had her first sexual experience, this boy turned out to be a girl. This made her very confused afterwards about her sexuality, and she felt betrayed. However, this wasn't the case at all. Kathy made this story up to encourage sympathy from other people.
Okay. I'm not really having...
It's just random, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
just
random.
Kathy was diagnosed with having a pathological personality with narcissistic behaviour. Mm-hmm. So they both had personality disorders. Kathy and Gwen's bond was described as strange. Kathy was a much more sophisticated and manipulative person, and Gwen was much more directly aggressive. Okay. So it was like a similar personality type, but one more sophisticated than the other.
Right, okay.
That's not my words. That was from the, what do you call him? What was he called? Forensic psychologist. Thanks for your help there.
Well done. I have to let you figure it out on your own sometimes, you know?
Had to think for a minute. So according to Kathy, Gwen's aggression began to show itself in late January of 1987. After killing Marguerite, Gwen forced Kathy to help kill more patients. Mm-hmm. Kathy served as the lookout whilst Gwen murdered the women. So Kathy said that she was terrified of Gwen. Remember I said that she used the washcloths to smother the patients? Well, yeah. Gwen, apparently, according to Kathy, obviously, Gwen would take washcloths and put them in her back pocket. And then she would like just like walk around the nursing home with them in her back pocket to intimidate Kathy, because obviously she would know what that meant.
Yeah,
But again, that's just Kathy's.
That's just what she's doing.
Yeah. So Kathy told the police that she had no part in the murders and she was very believable, but she wouldn't take responsibility for anything, like not even, you know, sort of being the lookout or anything. She was just blaming everything
on Gwen.
On Gwen. Mm-hmm. And when she expressed... Sorry. Oh. When they expressed their doubts about her story, she said she could prove that she was telling the truth. She said she had a collection of letters from Gwen, as well as souvenirs taken from the rooms of the patients that Gwen had killed. Mm-hmm. The police went to Kathy's house and they took away a box full of letters. So she was right, she did have letters from Gwen. But she didn't come up with any souvenirs that she had told them about coming to the victim's rooms. But when police read the letters, they found nothing to link either Kathy or Gwen to any crimes. They were just like love letters, like there was nothing.
Nothing sinister.
So I don't know what she was trying to achieve there. No. Maybe she tried to distract them or something.
Play games, maybe, I don't know.
Play games, yeah, that's probably exactly what it was. Uh-huh. Because the police just felt like they were going round and round in circles, as they just weren't getting anywhere. Mm. So as they were getting nowhere with Kathy, they eventually thought, "Oh, well, they took their time about going to speak to Gwen."
I know, because I was thinking that. I was like, where's Gwen coming at this?
Yeah. So, probably just because she was in Texas. Mm. But anyway, they decided to talk to Gwen. So one of the detectives flew to Texas, and he met an investigator down there, and they went to... So based on Gwen's bad check charge, they obtained a search warrant for her house.
Right.
Where she lived with her girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So she agreed to go to the police station for questioning while officers searched her house, but they found nothing to connect Gwen to the deaths at the nursing home, which isn't surprising because she didn't live there when apparently killed them.
Yeah.
So at the police station, Gwen denied murder. She said she was not present at the time of any of those people's deaths. She said she was working in the building, but that's all she knew.
She was dealing with other people.
Yeah. She was asked about her relationship with Kathy, and she said everything had been fine at first. Mm-hmm. So obviously this is her side of it now, the relationship. But then Kathy's need for manipulating people came between them, and Kathy started being physically abusive and dominating. Remember, Kathy had sort of said that about Gwen, that she was... And Gwen had began an affair with another nurse's aide in the nursing home, and when she finally left Kathy, she said she feared for her life. She said that Kathy had threatened Gwen's new girlfriend, saying, "You know, I can put Gwen away for a long, long time in prison." And Gwen obviously shit herself, because like she actually moved back in with Kathy.
Right.
Because of what she'd said. Uh-huh. So, but she said during that time, Kathy tied up Gwen, took her gun and pointed it at Gwen. And like Gwen was obviously begging her not to shoot her. And then Kathy just looked at her strangely, then left the house. Gwen managed to escape, and that's why she moved back to Texas.
Right.
Remember, this is Gwen's side.
Yes, I'm like, I'm thinking, who am I believing here? Because I'm not really sure at the moment.
Exactly, it's all very kind of he said, she said. Well, she said.
Aye, yeah.
So Gwen still denied that there were any murders. Well, you look like you got yourself comfy there and got quite interested.
Why, did I not normally look like I'm interested?
No, it's just like you just kind of positioned yourself, you're just kind of staring at me.
Yeah, tell me more.
So Gwen still denied that there were any murders, and she said that Kathy was upset about their breakup and she was trying to get back at her. So Gwen agreed to take a polygraph test, but the results came back inconclusive.
Okay. So Kathy failed hers, hers were inconclusive.
And hers were inconclusive. So the investigator flew back to Michigan.
Michigan.
Fuck's sake. I've always called it Michigan, so I'm just used to calling it Michigan.
I've never heard anybody call it Michigan.
Is it only me? I'm going to have to ask everybody I speak to now, how do you pronounce that?
I've never heard anybody call it that.
Okay. Right, the investigator flew back there anyway. With still no evidence of a crime. So most of the authorities, they were ready to put a stop to it. They were like, right, you know, there's no evidence They thought that, and most of the police, the, obviously like that police station, most of them thought that Kathy was just making it up to get Gwen into trouble because she was upset that they'd split
the breakup, up. Yeah.
Yeah, which could be.
Yeah.
But one detective, his name was Detective Freeman, he just couldn't drop the case. His gut was telling him that something terrible had happened at Alpine Manor Nursing Home. So on the 17th of October 1988, he questioned Kathy about her failed polygraph test. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I keep doing this with my hand. I keep pointing. I don't know why.
But why is she now just getting questions about her failed polygraph test? Really, if she failed it at the time, then...
I don't know. Maybe, like, I just don't think that polygraph tests are that reliable anyway, so...
No, I don't know.
I don't know. Don't ask me questions. What did I keep telling you? Don't ask me questions that I don't know the answers to.
I know, it's something I like to say it out loud and maybe you'll come up with something interesting to say back to me.
I don't know. Because usually I just come out with some shit that doesn't, you know, is fine. Just me guessing.
Yes.
So he said to her that he knew she was involved in these deaths and the reason that she was failing her polygraph was because she wasn't admitting that she took part in all of the homicides. Mm-hmm. So that's why he's saying that she did have something to do with it, but she wasn't sort of admitting the responsibility of...
Right.
I don't know. That's what he said. Anyway, as he had nothing to hold her on, she walked away. And he thought, right, okay, that's that then. There's nothing else I can do. Mm-hmm. But 3 days later, he got a phone call from Kathy saying she wanted to talk. So this time she admitted that her and Gwen had planned the murders together. So she's actually...
All right.
This is why I'm kind of thinking that, because she could have just, again, she could have just left it. She walked away.
Ah, yeah.
But then she's come back and saying, right, okay, now I want to talk.
Yeah. Like, does she want to get caught or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
We'll discuss later.
Okay.
So, yeah, so she admitted that her and Gwen planned the murders together when they invented a new game called the Murder Game. How very imaginative.
That's how original.
Yeah. So the object of the game was to kill patients in a certain order so that their first initials spell out the word murder.
Okay.
Which, the first one was Marguerite, so that began with an M. Mm-hmm. But the problem with spelling out the word murder as the homicides occurred was that there were several patients that were very active and they struggled so they couldn't actually kill them. Remember, one guy did say that he had been attacked.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a few they actually had tried. Mm-hmm. So... they obviously just thought, well, bugger that. And the game to spell out murder never actually got finished. So instead they just decided the game would be the easiest patient to kill. Because obviously some had struggled, so they went for the easier ones instead. Right, okay. So Kathy said that with every murder she and Gwen committed, they grew closer. Because, like, you know, what can bring you more closer than murdering somebody? They had a phrase that they would say, which was, I love you forever. And then it became, I love you forever and a day. And then I love you forever and 2 days. And basically, each day represented a murder they had committed. So after five murders, they would say to each other, I love you forever in 5 days. And that was symbolic of the murderous bond that they had together.
Oh my God.
Come on.
Really?
Ugh. But after a while, it became more than Kathy could handle. Mm-hmm. According to her, she took... part as a lookout in these murders because she was so in love with Gwen and she wanted Gwen to love her, so she was willing to do anything for her. But apparently it came to the time where it was Kathy's turn to kill someone and Gwen would be the lookout. But that was too much for her, and that's when the murder stopped. Because she didn't want to be the one to kill. And soon after that is when Gwen started a relationship with the other woman. So Detective Freeman believed her, and on the 23rd of October 1988, he took her to the Michigan State Police, where she was given another polygraph. Oh, did I say it wrong again? Yeah. Leave me alone.
Sorry.
Michigan.
Michigan.
Michigan. Well, we should spell it with an S. Michigan. Oh. I'm embarrassed now.
It'd be really funny if I was wrong.
You would never hear the end of that. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I'm not. I've never heard it called Michigan anyway.
Well, I've never heard it called Michigan.
Really? Michigan, USA?
Michigan, USA.
No.
See, after we finish recording this,
we're going to get
I'm going to Google it.
You're going to Google it and see how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
Right, go on. I think I should do it now.
Right, go on to YouTube and see how to pronounce Michigan. Michigan. I'll just finish doing this paragraph while you're doing that. So he took her to the police station. She was given another polygraph. She chose to be completely truthful, and she confessed to her role in the murders. An officer said, quote, "The results of the polygraph exam indicated that she was being truthful regarding her recollection of the events regarding her and her girlfriend, Gwen, having killed several people at the nursing home where they had worked together, and that the story that she was giving the police was factually true." Okay. Have you looked it up?
Yeah. Oh, it's my dad first, isn't it? Why do they always have to do stupid ads?
So that YouTubers can get paid. Excuse us while we just watch an advert on YouTube. Can you skip the ad?
No. It's alright, it's only a few seconds.
You can usually skip it.
Well, not now, right.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of the state in the Great Lakes and Midwestern regions of the United States. How do you go about pronouncing it? Michigan. Stress on the first syllable.
What's it called, Joe?
Michigan.
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 Yeah. States. Right, okay.
Not bloody Michigan.
Okay, I apologise to anybody who lives in Michigan. I will try and pronounce it properly from now on. But I wasn't doing it on purpose. I honestly thought that's how you pronounced it. So I apologise.
Shall we do a town check? Every time we do a podcast.
Well, usually if it's something that's spelt quite different, I do actually look it up, especially if it's in another country. Mm. Then I do look it up to see how to pronounce it. But I've just always thought it was Michigan, so I've never thought to look that up.
Michigan.
Right, okay, I've apologised, okay, so we're moving on. So she took the other polygraph, mm-hmm. and they said the story that she was given the police was factually true.
Right.
The problem was, although she had confessed, they had no indication of foul play. Detective Freeman wanted to continue with the investigation as he felt strongly that a crime had occurred, and by now most of the investigators thought that maybe, yeah, there was foul play, but they just didn't know where to go from there. They didn't know how to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed some evidence, and so they found out that three of the patients had been cremated,
mm-hmm.
but two of them had actually been buried.
Right.
And that was Marguerite Chambers and Edith Cook. So they decided to exhume the bodies to see if they could find some physical evidence.
Mm-hmm.
The medical examiner examined both bodies looking for any signs of murder, but there was no evidence to prove that they had been killed by Gwen or Kathy. Right. However, the forensic... What was that?
Here's your reminder. Pay rent.
Alexa.
Oh my god.
That's inappropriate, Alexa. Alexa, thank you. Stop.
Anytime.
Right.
Alexa, stop.
I have to apologise for that. We usually record on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
But today we are recording on a Friday because Laura was working on Wednesday. So we're recording on a Friday. And I pay my rent on a Friday, so, and I always forget. So I've got Alexa set up for every Friday at 2:00.
To remind you.
To remind me to pay the rent, so that's what that was.
Well, let's hope you don't forget.
I
again, I'm embarrassed. This is just an embarrassing episode that I have to be reminded to pee for my house.
Oh, we're doing well today, aren't we?
Oh, right, okay.
This is because we're not recording on our normal day, so we're totally off of it.
But... yeah, I know. Nothing's going right today.
No.
Right. And that's my excuse for saying Michigan wrong. It's Friday. It's a different day to when we usually...
we're not on the ball.
I know. I'm expecting a new washing machine today as well, so that'll probably turn up while we're recording.
Oh, dear.
Right, just get on with it.
Yeah.
Right, the medical examiner examined both bodies looking for any signs of murder, but there was no evidence to prove that they had been killed by Gwen or Kathy. However, I don't get this at all. The forensic pathologist changed the death certificate, from natural causes to murder, which I did not understand because they were only relying on Kathy's statement. That's all they had.
If they've not got any physical evidence, then how can they do that?
I have no idea. I do not understand that in the slightest. I don't know how that can be legal.
Mm.
But they did. So with the death certificates being changed to murder for Marguerite and Edith's deaths, Detective Freeman took his case to the prosecutor's office and got warrants for both Kathy and Gwen's arrests.
Alright.
So on the 4th of December 1988, Gwen was arrested in Texas for the murder charge of Edith Cook. Kathy was arrested on one count of conspiracy to commit murder for Marguerite Chambers and one count of murder for Edith Cook. The trial was set for the 11th of September 1989. In April, Kathy signed a plea agreement in exchange for her testimony against Gwen, and she was formally charged with one count of conspiracy to commit murder and one count of second degree murder. Based on Kathy's testimony, Gwen's pre-trial, Gwen was charged with one count of conspiracy to commit murder and five counts of first-degree murder. Gwen still denied it at all and insisted that no crime had occurred. So the trial went ahead on the 11th of September 1989. Since there was very little physical evidence, authorities built their case on the testimony of their key witness, Kathy Wood.
Mm-hmm.
So they concentrated on Gwen's history of low-functioning borderline personality disorder, but experts couldn't say for sure that she did the planning.
Mm-hmm.
It actually seemed more likely that Kathy had planned it all, as Kathy appeared to be the higher functioning, brighter and more of a planner.
Mm-hmm.
They did consider that Kathy may have fabricated the story of murder for revenge. Because, as a psychiatrist said, because they were dealing with highly deviant people, it's not inconceivable for one to say, yeah, I'll go to jail for 20 years just to get revenge on the other. So
it's almost like she's saying, Kathy's saying, oh, well, I want revenge on her. I know I'm going to have to go down with her, but screw it, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really seriously screwed up.
Mm-hmm. So there's also a theory that Kathy could have done this because she figured that if they were both in prison, then Gwen would come back to her and need her and she'd be able to control her and have her back as her girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, I mean, this case was very weak until they got a surprise witness, Gwen's girlfriend, the one that she was living with.
Okay.
She told them a story that Gwen had told her when they were living in Texas, and it was basically exactly the same as what Kathy had been telling the police.
Mm-hmm.
But yet Kathy and this woman, like, this wasn't the one that she'd threatened earlier. This was a completely different woman. Like, Kathy had never met this woman.
Right, okay.
They'd never had any contact with each other, but yet they told exactly the same story.
Right.
So that looks like, you know, Gwen and Kathy were telling the same story, basically. Uh-huh. So on the 20th of September 1989, Gwen was found guilty on five counts of first-degree murder and one for conspiracy to commit murder, and she was sentenced to six life sentences. She is serving her time at the Robert Scott Correctional Institute in Michigan.
Yay!
I said it right. And Kathy, she pled guilty to second degree murder and conspiracy, and she was sentenced to between 20 and 40 years and would be eligible for parole. She's in prison at Tallahassee Federal Correctional Institute, so if the theory was that she did want to be in prison with her...
They're not together.
No, they're not together. Or she was in prison, sorry, because she's been released now. Because in 2005, she was denied parole, but she was released in January 2020. So that was 31 years she was in prison for
And obviously, Gwen, she's got six life sentences, so she's spending the rest of her life in prison. But what do you think?
I don't know. I'm not actually convinced there wasn't.
And that's what I said. When I told you that I was doing this case, I text Laura, and I told her that I wasn't sure that there was a crime had been committed, and she was like, well, what the hell is your case about? How are you doing a true crime story?
Uh-huh.
There's no crime. But I don't know if there was a crime. I honestly do not know. The only thing that kind of makes me think there maybe was is the girlfriend telling the same story as what. Because how would she know?
Yeah.
If she'd never met Kathy.
Yeah, exactly. How would she know?
But then again, maybe they have been in contact, but the authorities just didn't know about it.
Well, that's true.
But then why would her new girlfriend want...
to get her in trouble?
Yeah, to get her in trouble.
Yeah. I don't know.
But the way that I was thinking was because... as you said, like, if they had murdered these patients, they could have got away with it. Because it was Kathy that went to her ex-husband and told him.
Yeah, because that's where it all started.
Yeah. And then, obviously, when the police were investigating it and they never found, they couldn't find any evidence, and they were like, right, okay, we're just going to leave it, she phoned them.
Mm-hmm.
It was her that made contact with them to say,
yeah, so what's she doing?
Actually, I did do it. So that does make me think that she was setting Gwen up and she was willing to go down for it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that does kind of make sense, if you know what I mean.
It does. I mean, as mad as it sounds, just the way it sort of played out, it does seem like that. And, you know, Gwen, you know, has always denied it.
But then it's stupid because she could have said, like, Kathy could have said that Gwen's murdered all these people on her own and not implicate herself in it. If she'd wanted revenge.
Maybe she thought that she had to have been a witness because they wouldn't believe that, you know, they maybe wouldn't believe her if she hadn't been there to see it.
True. But yeah,
it's a weird one. It's
pretty harsh if they didn't actually do it and they've ruined both, Kathy's ruined both their lives, really. But.
I just don't know.
But then I find it hard for the police to convict them if there wasn't really any physical evidence other than that the girlfriend that must have tipped the scale in the favour of them being convicted. I mean, I know people can be convicted on like circumstantial evidence and stuff like that, but to me there doesn't seem to be much at all, especially if they've exhumed two of the bodies and found nothing suspicious.
Yeah, I mean there's no physical evidence. Yeah.
I mean, so... I'm not saying that doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
No, I know.
But
how confusing must it be for those patients' families as well? Like,
well, yeah, like, were
that
they
must be awful to think, you know, was my mother or grandmother or whoever, was she murdered or
not? I was going to say, did they not have CCTV, but I suppose not. Oh, well, in the
80s.
In the 80s. But then they probably wouldn't have them in their bedrooms, would they?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
I mean, maybe in, like, communal areas.
Maybe, I don't know if they would have had it back then. I mean, CCTVs, you know, I mean, it probably was about, but maybe not so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I could be sounding really stupid there.
I don't know. I would have thought they would have had some kind of CCTV, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'd say maybe not in their bedrooms, because obviously they do need some privacy and stuff, so.
Right. Oh, well, I don't know. If anybody has an opinion, we'd love
I'm not 100% sure.
I am totally baffled. Yeah. I don't even know if there was a crime.
No, I'm not sure either, but they got convicted of it. They've spent, a lot of years in prison and one still in prison.
If she hasn't, that's really awful. But
in some ways, I don't know if that sounds right or not, but I don't wish they had murdered it, but I hope that they have been in prison, I suppose, for a reason, because otherwise it's really bad that they've spent time that they shouldn't have.
On her side, you would kind of think, oh, well, at least she's doing it. She's been punished for something that she's done.
Yeah.
But on the other side of it, as I said, for the families of the patients, they're never going to know whether they died of natural causes or...
And if Kathy was just trying to get back at Gwen, then that's just absolutely shocking. But as I said, we'll never fully know.
Well, there you go. There's another one done.
A mystery. You're getting too many of these mysteries.
Oh, sorry.
Something like I just cut and dry.
Yeah, well... this is actually we've recorded a couple episodes already today, so that, you know, like, the listeners won't know that we, they'll,
they'll have weeks between them, but yeah. Like obviously you've had them back to back these episodes, so yeah, we've had a couple of mysteries back to back. So
totally have, but never mind.
Yeah, but thank you for listening, and if you would like to follow us on any of our social media platforms or Patreon or, you know, anything like that, or buy me a coffee, I'll put all the details in our show notes.
And obviously if you would like to keep listening to us, please don't forget to subscribe,
rate, review.
Thanks for listening.